mercy. Hallelujah. We're here because of his goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So good to see all of our guests here today. God bless you so much. Coming and being a part of this service today. Hallelujah. Good to see the Smith family here. Hallelujah. God bless them so much. My wife was just mentioning the other day, hallelujah, the way we got into Bible quiz. And I think it was Sister Smith walked up to maybe me and my wife and said something about Bible quizzing, and we did not even know what Bible quizzing was. And so, hallelujah, I thank the Lord for that so much. And good to see them. Others people here today, our guests and repeat guests. Hallelujah. God bless you so much being here in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel like the challenge today is greater than I am. And pray the Lord would help me to deliver my heart to you today. Hallelujah. I was with the Spanish church last night. Had a great service last night here. And so here we are today. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 15. One of the most serious stories in all the Bible. Only two places God came to a place where sin was so great that he destroyed. And in Genesis chapter 6, the flood that came because of men's minds continually being on wickedness, and exercising that wickedness. And then here in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy lives. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. And then dropping down to verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Traditions say that Lot, as he settled into the city of Gomorrah, and gave himself to those many things that he gave himself to, that eventually, tradition says that he became the mayor of that wicked, wicked, wicked place. A man that in some ways was just, and a man that certainly had a knowledge of God and the things of God. He got involved with the social things and only God knows what else. And tradition says he was the mayor. I want to preach about the mayor's wife. The mayor's wife. Lot's wife. And I pray that the Lord would help us today and speak to us. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for an opportunity to stand once again behind this pulpit. I thank you for this wonderful congregation here today, God. I pray your blessing upon all of us. We are living in perilous times. We're living in very wicked times. The signs around us seem to tell us that you're soon to come back. Lord, we want to be ready for this phenomenal moment. You come for your bride. You come into this world, Lord. Touch us today and speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we believe you and we pray. Amen. And you can be seated today. The mayor's wife. She is known as Lot's wife. We do not know what her first name is. It was not given. We no doubt know about her because of her association with her husband, Lot. When death came to her, it caught her in a moment's time. There didn't seem to be much glamour about her life, and there certainly was not much glamour about her terrible death. The mark that she left this world a very crude mark, certainly very inexpensive, a pillar of salt. It was a far cry from what she had been reaching for and pursuing after and running after so many, many, many years. The value of her story is great when you look at the lessons of her life and her death and what they teach us. Jesus Christ himself emphasized her life and the tragedy of her death. Her life taught a lesson that his generation needed to hear. And he said, I want you to remember Lot's wife. This woman in the past had belonged to a very excellent family. In fact, the genes of that family were some of the best that was available. She was reared in the great city of antiquity, a great city known as Ur of the Chaldees. She was for a good length of time a member of a family that the world owes much to. It was the household of Abraham. She was a part of that family that had an insight of the things of God that no one else on earth had at that time. And she had shared herself with them. She was touched with the faith in which the family had been touched with. She had become a partner of the call to things greater. And she had been a partner of that call to the vision of that city that they sought, whose builder and maker was the Lord. And when the tent was pitched and the altars were built, in the early times of her life with this family, she was right there, no doubt, at the altar with them. She was a woman that knew the reality of how genuine the presence of God was. But there came a time in this lady's life, along with her husband, that they made a choice that would change things forever in their life. It was not the right choice. It was a worldly choice. It was the wrong choice. You see, her husband, Lot, was an ambitious man. He was a man that was anxious to get ahead. There was something about his makeup that when it came to acquiring things, he wanted the very best that life could afford him. Abraham's affections had been on things above, but not Lot. Abraham's decision did not seem to be a practical decision for Lot. Sodom was the place where all the action was taking place, and a man could move up in a city like Sodom. When he looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan, he looked at them and commented that they were even as the garden of the Lord. He compared the place that Sodom set, hallelujah, with the Garden of Eden itself. It would be a good investment to move to that city. And so they decided to move to Sodom. It seemed that they would prosper. And tradition tells us that Lot eventually did prosper and became the mayor of Sodom. Not only did Lot's wife move into Sodom with her husband, but there was something far worse that happened. And that was that Sodom moved into her. With all that she knew about God, with all that she knew that was right, and with all that she knew of how that she should be living, And having the knowledge of God to share with others. She did nothing to change the fashions and the beliefs of that ancient city. But I tell you today, that ancient city changed a lot in her. The lewdness of that city outstripped any other city in the area. It was known for its perversion and twistedness. The spirit of that city seemed to squeeze out of this woman's every bit of spirituality and God consciousness that she might have. It all started with a move that was not the will of God. I thought this morning of families, and especially a family that made the wrong choice. It was because of a dream in the night that I went to them and made an appointment and sat down on their sofa and talked to them and warned them of leaving and going further away from where the church was. They tried to assure me, oh, things will be better. The business will go easier. We'll have more time to be at church than we've ever had in all of our life. Yes, we're moving out of the area, but we'll be there on the weekend services. But that's not what God had told me. That's not what God warned and told me. And so here in Lot and his wife's life, they made a decision. They made a choice. Yet in the midst of all of this, we see the miracle working power of God, the grace of God trying to work in this situation. Hallelujah. The mayor's wife was not forgotten in the midst of all of this. Abraham, who was not living there with them, hallelujah, had tied this family to the altar of God, even though that they had parted and they were out and by themselves. Hallelujah. Abraham continued to pray for them. And one of the greatest conversations between God and man was recorded in your Bible, where Abraham reaches out for the safety and the salvation of Lot and his wife and their children. And he knew that they had exposed themselves to the sins of Sodom, and the judgment of God was upon them. Hallelujah. And because that God heard the prayer of Abraham, hallelujah, all of a sudden there were angels that were dispatched and to warn Lot and to warn Mrs. Lot and to warn her family. Hallelujah. She could not claim that she was not given a chance. Hallelujah. She knew the facts of her past. She had privileged information when the angels came and said, "Escape for your life. Look not behind thee." Hallelujah. She knew what it was. Hallelujah. To have a little bit of what she had known in the past still in her mind. Hallelujah. While much of Sodom did not know what was going on, this woman, hallelujah, came to realize that there were warnings around her. Hallelujah. It was time, if she was ever going to be saved, to wake up. Hallelujah. She could not claim that she was not warned. She knew the facts. Hallelujah. She was told that there was a way of escape. Hallelujah. She was told that heaven really wanted her. Hallelujah. Not to be lost. And I want to tell you, there's some people that's in this congregation today. I don't know why I'm preaching the way that I'm preaching this morning. But I want to tell everyone that's under the sound of my voice today. Hallelujah. Heaven wants us. Heaven wants the First Pentecostal Church of Buford. You're sitting on these pews today, and maybe you've got a divided heart, and you're looking on with interest, but you really don't know right now what you want to do. And hallelujah, there's nothing inside of you that's causing you to want to reach. But I want to tell you, heaven is reaching for some people in this building today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lot's wife perished as foolishly as the most ignorant people that was in Sodom perished. How could she have gotten herself so trapped? How could she have gotten herself so lost? After all that had gone on, after the hand of God had reached so far for her and angels had spoke to her. This whole situation of the mayor's wife being lost does not sift down to the question of unbelief. It was an unbelief with Lot's wife. When the angels came, Lot's wife believed what they had to say. All that she had ever learned, the faith that had been in her during all the years that it had spent in Abraham's household, was no doubt quickened by the voice of these divine messengers. Hallelujah. Lot's wife did not sneer. She did not make fun of the warning. She believed the messengers. Hallelujah. She did not get angry with them and think that they were just trying to alarm her. Hallelujah. Being the mayor's wife, she did not act sophisticated. She did not act bored. She did not act, hallelujah, as if she did not care. She did not laugh at the warning. Hallelujah. She invited them into her house to entertain them. Her acceptance of them, hallelujah, squeezed her into a very small minority of folks in that city that knew what was really going on. You see, the rest of the city, they were not interested in religion. They were not interested in revival. Hallelujah. None of them were ready to go to an altar. None of them were ready to hear the voice of God. No doubt in the past, God's voice had spoke to Sodom and Gomorrah. But now we find a city that has got an appointment with judgment, and there seems to be no mercy left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so while the crowd scoffed and while the crowd made fun and while even the backslid kids that had not been under the influence of Abraham, no doubt, made fun and would not escape. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, we're living in a world where the world is laughing and they're scoffing and they're making fun. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that hell is no joke. Burning fire is no joke. Hell is not a slang word that you use casually every day of your life. Hallelujah. It's not something that you tell jokes about when you're talking about hell. No sane person would tell another individual to go to that horrible place. Hallelujah. The mayor's wife knew too much to die the way she died. Hallelujah. Mrs. Lot had heard the message, had heard the warning. She did respond to it. Hallelujah. But she was not fervent enough with her response. Hallelujah. Some of us on a Sunday basis are stirred in our heart. Hallelujah. We got people that sit back on these pews that are sweet, wonderful people, but something has happened to them. They don't respond to what's going on some way or another. If it is a response, it's not a response that is strong enough to make their move into this altar area and seek the face of God. Hallelujah. Sodom had a bigger hold on this woman than what she thought Sodom had. And I'm preaching to people that are here today, we don't understand some of us, the hold that the world has on us, the things of this world, the appetites of this world, even things that may not amount to a lot, but yet they have captivated our attention, and all we can think about is life and living and money and enjoying a good time. I want to sound a trumpet in this service today. I want to try to wake somebody up this morning. There's no reason for you to go to hell. There's no reason for you to be lost and undone without God. Hallelujah, when you have important information. Hallelujah. So what's it going to take to shake you out of a pew? I said, what is it going to take to shake you out of a pew? You come and you sit. Hallelujah. But why aren't you moving? And I'm preaching to a select group. I don't know who all you are. Hallelujah. But there was no reason for this woman to end up the way she ended up. Hallelujah. For as it was in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it also come, also the coming of the Son of Man be. Hallelujah. God has ordained what's here today and what's happening. Hallelujah. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. The mayor's wife believed, and yet she lingered. Hallelujah. She procrastinated. She drug her feet. She played around. She lingered while angels took her by the hand and took the hand of Lot and the two daughters that were left and led them out of the doomed city. Hallelujah. She walked out of that place with heaven holding her hands, angels pulling her, warning her, begging her. Hallelujah. You need to get urgent. You need to hasten your pass. Hallelujah. You need to get busy about getting out of this city. Hallelujah. 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 She had heaven in her hands. And in the 17th verse of the 19th chapter, hallelujah, the commandment of the angels was escape for thy life. Hallelujah, that's a pretty strong statement. Look not behind thee. Hallelujah, neither stay thou in all the valley. You're going to have to get out of this area. It's not going to be just a little move. It's not just trying to change locations. It's not trying to find a place in Sodom that you can hide beneath the fire shower, because everything's going to burn up. Everything is going to be destroyed. It's time for you to get out of the valley plain and escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Hallelujah. I want you to look at the next verse. After all of those warnings were given, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, Lord. Surely this is not going to be this bad. Hallelujah. I wonder if Lot's hesitation affected his wife's decision. With everything precious and eternal in her hands, she lingered behind to watch the last show. She had heaven in her hands, and she had hell in her heart. She lingered while the fire failed. We got people here today that's lingered. While the fires of tests and problems and things to stir you up and show you your need of God, you stand, you pause, you linger with the fires of hell being kindled. Far too many people that believe the message linger. I said, far too many people that believe the message. It's not a deal of unbelief, but lingering, lingering. Wasting the best years of your life in sin and for the devil, with plans of offering the leftovers of a ravaged, ruined life to God. I'll do what I want to do. I don't have to get real serious today. You know, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe a little longer in life to where I can't enjoy as much as I do now the things to be enjoyed. Hallelujah. Some of you have been feeling the call of God, not just this morning, but last week and last month. There's been times of the night of waking up and being disturbed and feeling empty. Hallelujah. Too many people are lingering in this hour. They linger through the healthy years of their life. They linger through the impressionable years of their life. They linger while their children grow up and become something they never thought they would become. They linger while their lost parents die without God because of carelessness on our part, when we know the information. We know what's about to happen. They linger through sickness and trouble and adverse circumstances. Instead of coming to Jesus as the only answer, they try to work out their own problems. Hallelujah. They linger in spite of messages preached and sermons reached, preachers reaching, and people in the church trying to help you that or lame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so people become hard and they underestimate what sin is doing to their life. You might ought to respond today if there's any response that you're feeling. You might ought to respond before you wake up one morning and there's no response there any longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lot did not belong to those that he was mayor of. In verse 9 of that 19th chapter, it talks about how that they got angry at Lot because he was putting this information out and said, "Stand back. This fella came in to live here temporarily." This is in the Amplified Version. "And now he presumes to be our judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." Talking about the perverted people that was knocking at his door. So they rushed at and pressed violently against Lot and came close to breaking down the wall. I want to tell you, that's how much the world cares about you, friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only mercy and the grace of God. Only mercy and grace of God. Hallelujah. It's lingering today. And you're able to respond. Lot's wife responded to something that she had known a long ago. I believe in the midst of all that, she remembered a tent. And she remembered an altar. She remembered Uncle Abraham. She remembered all those things. She made a start. She left the doomed city. It was a good start. But the Bible says that she turned and she looked back. It was not just the looking back, but it showed that she had a divided heart, undecided will. Lot's wife looked back from behind him. Straggling behind him, she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. What's going to happen to people here? What's going to happen to some people that don't respond? I want to tell you the majority of this church responds. Hallelujah. They recognize the importance for fillings and refillings. Hallelujah. They recognize the importance of every week being here and responding with tender heart to the touch of God's hands. At the same time, there are others that sit because of lack of response or how much response they have. They are unmoved and they're unimpressed. I mentioned this, I believe it was a few weeks ago, and I found it again in my notes. And it said that Mr. Moody, that was the great preacher, preached in Chicago to a large congregation, to a large auditorium in that city, brought them to the trial of Jesus Christ, made this statement: "I'll give you a week to decide what you will do with Jesus." That night, a cow kicked over a coal lantern in a barn. That little flame started the great Chicago fire, where thousands of people died. Many in Moody's congregation that day perished. Why did they perish? Because the preacher made the mistake of telling everybody, "You got another week to decide what you'll do." What you gonna do today? I know it's low key this morning, and as far as it's quiet, but what are you going to do? Where are you at right now? What's going on right now in your life? Are you looking back after years and years of consecration and having the Holy Ghost? Are you looking back to try to reevaluate one more time? Is it really worth it to leave Sodom or not? All of you know the story of Pompeii and its destruction by a volcano. There were figures that were found in the ruins of that place. There were two that were very interesting. One was the Roman sentinel that was the main guard at the gate of Pompeii, this terribly, maybe the most sinful city that was ever on earth. This volcano exploded and destroyed that place. But as they began to excavate the ruins, they found this man standing embalmed in the ash of that volcano. He was the watchman of the gate of the city. He was standing there with spear in his hand and his sword at his side. The lava had so embalmed him, it was obvious that he had stayed at his post of duty and he had refused to flee for his life. Not far from him, there was another figure of a woman. Her feet was turned toward the city gate in escape. But her head and her twisted body was turned toward Pompeii. Her hands were outstretched on the ground. And just beyond her fingertips, there was a bag of pearls. And that's the way the ashes caught her. One man at the post of duty, refusing to flee. The other, in the process of trying to save herself, turned and reached hungrily for one last treasure in a doomed city. How many knows that we're living in a doomed world this morning? How many knows that there's all kinds of threats from mad men about trying to destroy this beautiful America? The warnings against the West Coast, and in fact, now in nearly every quarter of the United States, people are endangered by crazy folks that believe they want to destroy everybody else but themselves. God photographed the mayor's wife for us. He had tried to save her, to turn her in the right direction. And Jesus said, I want you to remember Lot's wife. I wonder what the photo finish will be for us when we've done our last deed, we've made our last choice. I wonder. I've noticed some cut hair in this church of some of our young girls. You've uncovered your protection. Where's mama at? Where's daddy at in all of this? You think I'm going to change? I'm not changing because the Bible don't change. You've reproached yourself. I had no intention of saying this. The Bible says to trim it is just like shaving it. To clip it is just like shaving the covering. This book says is over your life. How do you want to stand before God when the trumpet sounds? Are you really ready? Have you been touched recently? Is the move like it was with Lot's wife? You're moved to a point, but not enough to make the trip. Let's stand today. Lord, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, help us to find out where we're at today. The world is not hearing the message, just like Sodom and Gomorrah did not hear the message. The world is not really hearing the message. They continue in their twisted, perverted way. Oh God, help us. We're in a place of safety today. The word of the Lord has come forth today. Oh Jesus. God, I am responsible to a degree. Oh, Jesus, help us. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us to reach out and help the weary, the stumbling, the falling. And God, help them to wake up and realize we mean them no harm, but we're trying to help them. God, I've taken my time today to try to wake us up. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, angels are here today. As they were in Sodom, angels are here today. They're encamped around about us. The presence of the Lord is moving in this house. Oh, time is running out. It's running out. It's running out. Some of us is headed in the wrong direction, and so that means every day we're getting further and further and further away from the feeling that we ought to have today. Oh, in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. But oh, there's some other things that are coming, and they may come before he comes. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, days like you've never seen before. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to be froze like that statue of salt. Hallelujah. I don't want to be without a heart, without emotions, without feelings. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I want to hear you pray today. I want to hear you pray this morning. I want to see you make a move. Some of you hadn't made a move in months and months and months. I'm preaching to you because I love you. Oh, God. Oh, God. God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. 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 What you gonna do with your life? What are you gonna do with your life? Will you do with your life? Oh God. Oh Jesus. 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 Oh, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, what are you going to do today? Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of us ought to get our families together. Come on, let's go to heaven together. That's what Lot ought to done. Lot ought to got his wife and kids and said, we got to get all the way out of here. Oh, Jesus, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life? Oh, Jesus, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. You're not far from the kingdom of heaven. Oh, God, save my boy. God, save my girl. God, save my husband. God, save my wife. God, save my parents. Oh, God, save my friends. Save my friends, oh, God. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, shake this place. Shake this place. Shake this place. Oh, shake this place today, God.